Welcome to the Doghouse on NTNRadio.com.
Is that you, God? Who said that?
This is God.
Is that God? Yahweh.
This is God. You don't count.
I don't count.
You don't count.
I'm sorry.
No. You're not coming up here anyway.
That's actually true.
You're headed south.
Yeah, there is a song that is entitled In Hell I'll Be in Good Company.
Yes.
And I pretty much have been like, oh yeah, that guy's going to be there. It's going to be a good time.
And if you want to know why we're going to hell, you need to listen to the Doghouse Unhinged on Patreon. That is patreon.com/NTN.
I always say backslash, and that's wrong. So people, I'm an idiot.
That's why you're going to hell, because you're an idiot.
Yeah, that's right.
It's, you know, you got to go listen to the Doghouse on Hinge so you can understand just how offensive we can actually be.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. That's a pretty low bar.
Yeah. Right? I thought for us, we were pretty low key this week.
Yeah, we were pretty low key, but still amazingly offensive at the same time.
Amazingly offensive.
The good thing is that we don't have to really go over the top to be under the bottom.
Yeah, I like that.
This is the Doghouse. This is the Doghouse, and I am your guest star, Ken Kaplan.
Yeah, I'm going to put that up like quotes and stuff like that's, guest starring Ken Kaplan.
I'm guest starring this week. This is actually a cameo for me.
A cameo.
I'm actually sitting in for Warren. So hang on a second. I gotta hold on. I gotta bring my intelligence.
Please don't.
Colorado.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
There you go. Woo! I knew it was in you somewheres, Ken.
Okay. Well, you know, I jumped out of a lot of planes, landed on my head a lot. You know,
concussion.
Got the concussions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ate a lot of pets in West Virginia.
And Harley's.
Cats aren't bad, you know, when you put them in a barbecue sauce.
Meow.
No. Give Warren a hard time. Actually, I haven't seen him in a long time. I hope he actually shows up for work once in a while.
Yeah.
Like me.
He's in the city. I always call it the land of dog poop and broken glass.
Yeah, the city of brotherly something.
Yes, brothers.
Yes.
I don't know.
City of brothers.
City of brothers.
Wait a minute. That's for Unhinged.
Okay. I didn't even mean it that way.
Yes.
But that is kind of funny. If you don't enjoy that and you think I was wrong, you should email Warren at ntnradio.com. He doesn't check his email anyway.
I don't think he does check
and
his email.
Send him a picture of your ball sack. That way he knows it's serious.
Then that will get his attention.
That will get his attention. He'll be looking the screen.
Yeah.
We had a lot of racing going on. We had Moto America and we had Moto GP in Misano, which there's a ton to talk about.
I've heard that before. Moto
America.
Moto America. Okay.
Yes. But I want to talk about another race that was on television last night. It is actually one of my favorite races.
Mm-hmm.
The Iron Giant.
The Iron Giant.
The hare scramble over in Austria that's in the iron mine.
Oh.
It's like 500 guys.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I don't even want to try to pronounce the name without... I'm going to butcher it. It's like Erzberg Grodio.
Is this... What language is this supposed to be, Phil? Because
Austrian?
I can never tell with you.
I don't know.
Austrian?
European?
You mean German?
European? I don't know what language they speak in Europe.
European.
It's European.
They're speaking European.
Yeah, one of those languages.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's a hare scramble with I believe it's 19.7 mile long track inside an iron mine, which is like really the side of a mountain. So they like start in the bottom of this mine and they race up the sides and then through the woods and it's always changing because it's a working mine.
Hmm.
And it's part of the Red Bull
series.
Doesn't
that kind of disturb the work?
I guess they closed down for a weekend or a week.
Oh, okay. Makes a difference.
But it's one of my favorite races because they have 500 guys racing in this race.
Yep.
And they got 50 in a line and they have 10 lines deep. Mm-hmm. And they send off the top 50 who are the pro riders and those guys go. And they get out of the first eight obstacles and you go, oh, that's not that hard. Then the second line goes and they're the lower level pro guys and a couple of them will get stuck. By the time you get to row 10, there's 200 people stuck on the side of the first obstacle. And then the bikes are tumbling and the guys are tumbling.
And they're trying
and
to
And you're going, oh my God, that guy's going to get hurt. But it's like watching Wipeout.
Really?
You're just laughing. You're that had to hurt.
Yeah.
Look at that. You know, and they're all Europeans, so whatever.
Speaking European, of course.
I'm sure they are, so I didn't understand any of the cursing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And hardly any of the English commentary.
Well, that sounds interesting. I'll have to watch that.
Yeah, it's on the YouTube.
Okay, I'll check it out.
But it was on, I believe it was on Fox Sports 1 yesterday. It's part of the Red Bull thing. Right? So I was watching last night.
Did they have, like, Umbrella Girls?
No.
Nothing like that?
No. But they have drunk fans up in the woods on the side of this mountain, like, cheering you on when you, like, dump your bike in the mud.
Oh, really?
Sound like the Swedish Chef. I didn't understand them.
Are there any female riders?
Not that they talked about. I doubt it.
Okay.
There might have been a few after the race by some of the falls they took. Just very entertaining. It looks challenging. Yeah. It looks like, oh my God. Like in the U.S., we had a famous one, Blackwater. Everybody said was the most challenging one.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of makes Blackwater look like a joke.
Mm. Okay.
It sounds interesting.
You would love this. This is like a big strip mine, right?
Well, it's like in the side of a mountain. So like one part was like a grassy hill last year, and now it's like rocks.
But this is all out in the open.
It's all open.
It's not an underground mine.
No. Oh my God, that would even be more awesome.
Yeah.
Imagine racing in the salt mines underneath.
That's why I wanted to make sure I understood this was like a strip mine.
Yeah. Okay. You say strip, and my mind just goes to boobs. Right? I mean, come on, you know that. Right?
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's a great race. You got to watch it. If you never watched it, it's a Red Bull. It's part of the Red Bull Hair Scramble series in Europe.
Okay.
And it's called the Iron Giant because it's in an iron mine. It's really cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching it. I'll check it out.
Those guys are retarded. And a guy who won was 43. And this is like his fourth time winning. He beat out the young guys.
And why do you think that is? Because he knows what to do?
Yeah, because I don't think you're really prepared. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those tracks where you have to be old and crafty.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think you get the actual how difficult that is until mm-hmm. you do it. Right? I mean, I look at it and I can appreciate it, but I even feel like I wouldn't make it out of the first obstacle. No chance.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something you have to like struggle with 12, 15 times before you actually get it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's, you know, and there was a couple of young guys in the top five. And, like, the cool part is like, they hit, like, a muddy section where, like, the guy in third or second dumped his bike. He helped drag the guy in first up, who finally got his bike back to a reasonable spot, and he came back and they drugged the other guy's bike up. Like, there are times where you have to work together against the people you're competing against. And then there's other times you just T-bone them and run over them.
Yeah.
I like it. It's fun. Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do that in Moto 2, you know.
Help them? Or just
no, you don't need to T-bone them.
Well, you do get to do the hair scramble tricks.
You do get to do this.
Before we get into that, Ken, I know you like jumping the gun, because we have a lot to talk about that. I want to talk a little bit about Moto America was in New Jersey in the swamp, because all of New Jersey is a swamp.
They were in the Meadowlands?
Well, no, whatever. All of Jersey's a swamp or a dump, right?
Okay.
No, they were at New Jersey Motorsports Park, which is Millville.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Right? Oh, man. If they were in the Meadowlands, I would have went.
That's what I was wondering.
Close enough to get good pizza.
Millville's too close to Philly. When you said a swamp and you said New Jersey, I thought Meadowlands.
Oh, I'm from New York, so when you talk Jersey, it's always a swamp.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? I forget that there's actually parts down here that is just a dump.
It was literally a real swamp in the Meadowlands.
It still is there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But right? they've just filled in most of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they started filling it in during the World's Fair in the 60s, and then they continued
and then,
on with
and
Giant
then, you know,
Stadium.
New York ran a place to throw garbage.
Right.
Illegal hazmats and all the other good stuff. There's cars, dead bodies, Hoffa, you know.
I was going to say, they filled it in with Hoffa, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of Hoffa in that one.
Under the 30-yard line, I believe.
Some people say the northern end zone. Some say the 50.
Yep.
I say strip mall on 1 and 9.
Yep.
You know, you say tomato, I say tomato. The FBI thinks Minnesota and Michigan, so who really cares?
Mm-hmm.
But long story short one long. Josh Herron had a great weekend and a horrible weekend all on the same weekend.
I think that's like, yeah, okay. He had a great weekend and a horrible weekend.
Yeah.
Means he had one good race and one horrible race.
Well, no, he just had one good race. He never got to have the horrible race. He went out and he won the first race by like 2.5 days.
Yeah.
Right? It was wet. It was rainy.
It was very rainy.
He done very well in the wet on that attack performance Yamaha.
Mm-hmm.
And he got out there and he got to the front and he was like, boom, boom, boom. And Matthew Schultz had a good race. He seems to be quite the wet racer. Mm-hmm. And Cam Bouvier had a good race too. So they were like, boom, out there. You know, Heron's out by like 3 days. Race two comes up. He can't get the bike started. Mm-hmm. Never won out.
He didn't even get out on the grid.
So that kills him. But they did this. Bouvier did win the second race and win the championship for the season. Mm-hmm. Even though they do have Barber left, Bouvier did wrap up the championship. You know, a lot of wet, soaking rain there.
A lot of rain everywhere on the East Coast.
Everywhere on the East Coast.
Couple weeks.
Yeah, it's only going to get worse. They're lucky they're not racing this weekend in New Jersey, because it really would be a swamp there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, I just figured we'd give that a mention. I'm always glad to hear Josh Herron winning, and I think, you know, his Facebook videos and his YouTube videos.
Is this 2 weeks in a row that he won?
Two rounds in a row that he has at least one win, So that's a positive thing. I think I'm glad to see a satellite, well, not even a satellite team, a non-factory team, an independent, winning races, right?
So since I haven't been following that series this year,
well, it's a little hard.
It's amazingly hard. You got to like go to a race if you want to see it,
pretty much.
And then you have to know there's actually a race where there is a track.
It's not
different
easy.
Problem. But what happened with Suzuki this year? I mean, this is Roger Hayden's last season, so
yeah. Well, Roger Hayden, send your hate mail to Warren at ntnradio.com. Has Roger Hayden ever been a person of value in Superbike?
I mean, last season he was, it seemed like. I know, again, I don't know what's been going on this year, but remember we kept saying that, you know, when's Roger going to win a race?
Well,
no, he won a race last year. He won two races last year. So, but I don't know what's been going on this year. I haven't heard his name mentioned much.
Yeah.
Then again, I haven't heard Tony's name mentioned
as much.
Well,
Tony started out with a bang, and then something's wrong with the Suzuki. You know, if you listen to the Doghouse, you'll know that my conspiracy European thoughts are always that that the Suzuki team really here is just a test team for getting back to World Superbike.
Yeah, and I mean, there's some evidence to say
there's some
that
evidence
as well.
To that, right? I mean, like that's not a Phil conspiracy theory. It's more like I feel like that meme, like. That's why they're here. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, we'll give you some money. Give you a new Suzuki. They, you know, give you a new bike. Which last year was the first year of the new bike.
Yeah,
and it's development money, and so they'll spread a little money around for Tony.
Yeah,
and that's the lure, right?
I think the Yamahas have gotten better over the course of the season.
Okay,
and the Suzuki doesn't look. What's the word I'm looking for? The Suzuki doesn't look as aggressive in the straightaways. Like, I mean, Tony Elias is a hell of a rider, so he's still, you know, in the corners and stuff. He's doing good, and he's outbreaking guys, and he's keeping his momentum up, and he's doing this, that, and the other thing, but he's not walking the dog on him.
Well, he had a speed advantage last year, and that's how Roger Hayden and he were winning large percentage.
Yeah, and that's kind of gone.
Yeah.
Right, he had some early round good races, but Bouvier, the second half of the season, has been dominating. And really, if you take out his race where his bike didn't show up, right? If you give Josh Herron the average point scoring, he'd be in the points championship battle right down to this race. You know, if he had raced he had a couple spills. And he's had some bike technicalities.
Wouldn't he have been? I don't quite understand why Josh Herron hasn't been able to get a really good ride since he came back from Moto 2.
I'll tell you this. We talked to him at Pittsburgh about that.
Yeah.
Right? And if Josh hates me for saying this, send your hate mail to Warren because it was his idea. You know, well, we talked to him and we said, hey, are you going to try for the Suzuki? Also, there's rumors going around that Cam Bouvier has options overseas. Is that where you are? And Herron flat out told us, he goes, I really like being out of TAC Performance. He's like, the bike's getting better. I feel like I'm part of a team. I've always been the spoiled brat kid. Then now I had to work hard after Mean, and now this, I've had to work hard. I've done these things with, you know, these guys on budgets that were nowhere near as big as what I was used to.
Yeah.
And he says, and they let me do what I like doing and let me be me. Social media and going out and doing stuff. So I think he really is liking that. And if Attack has, that bike has come a long way. I mean, he was up to ninth or eighth in the World Superbike class at Laguna Seca on the same bike he was running in Moto America. So that bike has come a long way.
Yeah.
I think you see Josh Herron stay with Attack Performance unless a Moto 2 or something, a World Superbike ride comes available.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, if I was him, I wouldn't go back to Moto 2.
I would go back to him if the right team came along.
It's not working out so well right now for Americans. And to me, you're not going to get it.
Joey Roberts is going to be taking over Sam Lowe's bike next year.
Oh, well, that's good. So they've got a better chance that he'll actually see an entire race, that means.
The bike or Joey Roberts?
No, the bike.
Well, somebody had posted that up on Facebook. They were like, oh, Joey Roberts is going to be on Sam Lowe's bike. And I was like, oh, that sucks because that bike has a hard time staying up.
Well, there is no Sam Lowe's bike, right? Because that bike gets replaced every few weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Which Sam Lowe's bike, right?
Yeah, right.
Throw that thing in the garbage.
Yeah.
What's that? Swiss Innovators. What do they call that team? Swiss Innovative Investors team. Is the one Joe Roberts is going to, and
well, he's got to go somewhere because where he is just disastrous, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to him, a major win is to actually get a point, right? That's not good.
Yeah, no, and that's the biggest problem with Americans right now.
Oh, yeah.
World Superbike, Gagne, I mean, World Superbike's racing this weekend. Mm-hmm. Gagne says he feels better with the testing and stuff. PJ Jacobson's going to be his partner on the factory ride because what's his name? Is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Who's it, Camier? Is that who it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would be an interesting weekend for Americans there. I mean, I viewed that as positive notes because I feel like Sam Lowe's bike could win a race if he could stay up on it. And he can't.
Right.
But that's a Lowe's thing, right? His brother can't stay up either.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're going to be single forever with me saying stuff like that. But how do I know? Warren told me.
Yes.
I think what Herron has done by coming out and racing with Elias and stuff, I feel like he might, this time maybe he would get offered a better ride. I know that's a big slap in the face to Yamaha and Graves, but I feel like at the time Herron got offered his ride, it was like if you were on a Yamaha, you're expected to win. You know, like, and the rest of the world felt that way. I don't think anybody, I think Herron's a much faster racer now than he was then.
That's reasonable based on some experience and things, but it was the best funded team by far. Not even close, right? I don't know if that's true anymore because, you know, investment in Moto America, obviously because the sponsorships haven't been there, it's probably curtailed a lot, right? Because it's all coming out of somebody's pocket now, right?
Yeah, but even just when I watch, you know me, I watch, almost said the S word. I watch a bunch of racing in different forms. And you can tell when all of a sudden a guy, something's clicked in his head on how to be fast. Mm-hmm. Like especially like when you watch like Supercross, like all of a sudden you're watching a race and you're like, that guy's got it this year.
Right. But the problem is that it's... for him to go to Moto 2 means that he's going to get on some third tier team if he goes to Moto 2.
Unfortunately.
Because, yes. So he's better off going to World Superbike, in my opinion, or even World Supersport.
Listen, I would love, and I don't know what their budget is, and I imagine it's not that big, but I would love to read something about World Superbike, about Attack Performance wanting to get more involved. I don't know what their I don't think their budget is that big.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, because those guys are definitely putting in the money to make competitive bikes.
Yeah, but there's only the problem is, like, in World Superbike, there's only two teams that are reliably competitive. That's Ducati
and Kawasaki. Yeah.
And that's it. And that's what happens. The problem is, that, you could get on a satellite Kawasaki team and maybe have a entertaining ride, but... would it be at the level of the factory? Even though they said they're supposed to share everything now in World Superbike? I don't.
It's like going to a swinger party. Nobody ever shares everything.
Well, it's like you can have the same equipment, but we're not going to tell you how to properly tune the bike and things of that nature like that.
Yeah. So,
but anyway.
So we'll see.
I don't know if that's a good move for Herron at this point.
I think staying on the Attack Performance Yamaha is.
Yeah, but the problem that he's got is that he's, he's racing in a sport where each weekend he gets seen by a very small number of people. It's very hard to make that move.
Did you hear what Cal Crutchlow said this week. So I'm not trying to poo-poo Moto America here, but a couple weeks ago, Moto America and even the guys over at Road Racing World had picked it up because of some comments made where it was, you know, that Cal Crutchlow talked about coming to Moto America after his MotoGP days are done, right? Which is, I think, are coming up.
Yeah.
So he went out this, I guess it was this week. I'm not really sure. It's dated, the video is dated September 7th, but, you know, that could just be the day it got posted, where it looks like he's talking in front of, like, some sponsors and stuff at, like, some kind of sponsorship thing, you know, because he's in his gear and there's a bunch of people talking. And he starts talking, and, you know, they said something to him. One of the people asks, well, what about going to Moto America? You know, and he goes, I would love to go over there and race those guys. Mm-hmm. Right? He's like, but he's like, I only want to go over there if there's guys to race. And he's like, I'm not saying those guys over there aren't fast. He goes, because some of them are really fast. He said, but he goes, you show up and two teams have all the money and everybody else is showing up in vans. And that's not fun. That's not competitive. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, you know, Cal's been getting quite the reputation of being the street shooter guy. Mm-hmm. You know, the tell it like it is, you know. And he started talking about the days of Spies and Doohan and some of the other Americans. Mm-hmm. He's like, those are the guys, you know, he goes, when it was like that, yeah, it'd be great. He's like, but they're not there right now. And they're not.
No,
because the money's not there to get
there.
No,
that's back in the days when the AMA ran the series. And it... It attracted the level of talent, and there wasn't any problem getting sponsorships. And he's right. There's only a couple teams that have solid money
funding,
coming
yeah.
in, and the rest of them are also Rens, and that's not going to change because nobody wants to sponsor my bike when it's only going to be seen by people who you know have been, which we know is very few people.
Which got even smaller. They lost DirecTV over the week.
So that or... they aren't bringing the crowds in, and if they don't change that and you don't get sponsorship, it's kind of hard. And even if Heron's having a good time on Attack Performance, at what point does Attack Performance say we can no longer perform and run the series because we can't get the sponsorships we need in order to run a competitive team?
I would say that's been a two-way street on those guys because I think Heron's gone over the last 2 years and done a lot to attract people to his social media. He has twice the amount of followers media as Moto America.
He probably has done more on his own than the series itself has done.
Yeah, that's no doubt. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt on that. So, you know, it might be, you know, maybe Attack Performance is saying, hey, you know, we know we got this. And Heron also seems to have a good reputation with the guys who run CCS and Azra, and, you know, Attack Performance sells parts and stuff for those kind of guys.
Right.
So, you know, it might be a deal that so long as for some reason the cost of racing doesn't skyrocket, they could stick around for a while and have a competitive bike. I don't really know. Maybe we should get Heron and the guy from Attack Performance on and talk to him. You know, but when I look at what Cal Crutchlow said is, you know, I agree with a lot of what he says. You know, I mean, you know, he's got a house in California that he goes to during the off season, so it's not like he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah,
right. I'm sure he has a.
But
good
wasn't
finger.
The point of the series from our first interview with Wayne Rainey was all about developing American talent to move up at the world level?
Yeah.
I mean, no knock on Tony Elias and everything like that, and I understand that he brought some interest into the series.
I don't see that. Where did he bring the interest?
I think he did because for lack of a better term, we had a bike that could compete with the Yamaha, okay?
Yeah.
And Tony was on that. It was Tony doing it. It wasn't the American, no knock on Roger Hayden, but Tony came over and was winning right away on the Suzuki, instantly, right?
Yeah, well, here's what I don't like about all that and a lot of the stuff that's going on, right? Because it looks like Skultz is in the running to take over Hayden's ride and a couple other things. Like, I feel like, A, I don't really want Cal Crutchlow there. Interview-wise, I want Cal Crutchlow there, right? But at the end of the day, he's just another old European guy. Like Tony Elias. Roger Hayden's old.
Yeah, it doesn't do
I was
it.
Glad to see Josh Hayes go because he's old.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a development series. That's what Wayne Rainey said it was going to be. Okay, let's see development.
Right. We're not seeing the young guys. The young guys aren't getting, they're not getting the good rides mm-hmm. to see how they're doing. And you got guys out there who are self-funding who maybe they got the money, you know, it's mom and dad can only fund you so far.
Okay. I think.
All right. Let's get into Moto 2.
Yeah. Let's get into Moto 2. Let's talk about how to slow your competitors down.
I've heard the kick them out of gear.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard, you know, kick them over, the Rossi knee.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Marquette, the Iannone just T-boning them.
Yep.
But Fanati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The red mist.
Yep.
Red mist got that dude.
Yeah, when you are not happy with the guy, that is not even by far the first time I've ever seen anybody grab somebody's brake.
No, right. Like, so everyone's like, I've never seen that before. It's like, you don't watch a lot of racing.
Exactly. I think penalize the guy. I don't care about his apologies. Who gives a rat's?
He wasn't sorry. He did it.
No, of course not. And when people apologize, it's like, I don't want to hear your apologies. It's like, whatever. Fine him, penalize him, take, I don't care, 20 points if he had him, take him away. You know, do whatever they want to do. You can suspend him for a race.
They suspended him for 2 races.
Okay.
He lost his Italian motorcycle race thing. He lost his ride with Forward next year.
Huh?
Right? He's lost his Italian motorcycle racing. They suspended him for 2 weeks. Now, FIM suspended Brock Tickle for indefinitely for performance-enhancing drugs.
Yep.
But you grab your guy's brake and, no big deal.
Right.
No harm, no foul.
Yep.
So Brock Tickle probably has a pretty good beef. If I was Brock Tickle, I'd be hulking out right now.
Right.
Yeah, right. But anyways. You know, he's got a lot of punishment, and I can see, you know, Forward's like, that doesn't represent what we blew the sport.
Oh, please. You know, yes, I understand. It's like, it's dangerous, you know, act appropriately about it. You know, I think what he did was terrible.
What I don't understand is it's MotoGP and all they do is brag about the high-res corner shots. How did you not think you were getting caught?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know,
that's like
fine
pooping
him,
on the main street of your hometown.
Him, whatever he do, he lost his ride. Do you really want to collapse the guy's career? He did something stupid, and the main thing he did stupid was, yeah, you're right. You've got all this camera coverage, right?
Yeah.
He overreacted. Okay, the kid's a talented rider. He did a stupid thing. Act appropriately, but don't destroy the guy's career. So.
No, it's already destroyed. PC is gone.
Yeah, right, because now, right, no one's going to hire him now because of this. And I'm sorry, one event, stupid things.
You know, it's
I did some stupid things. I remember that. I regret it, but I got angry. And, you know, when you're angry, you don't think things through, right?
And I mean, he really didn't actually crash the guy.
Well, he didn't squeeze hard enough, that's all.
Yeah. I mean, all he did was slow him down and be like, jerk.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going past you.
Yep.
Right? And I mean... you know, I know this could be a lot of guys who were, it's dangerous, and he put his life in danger. You put your life in danger when you put the helmet on.
All those things are true, but let's just not get all wee-weed up, as Obama used to say about it. Let's not get all wee-weed up. You know, penalize the guy properly, destroying his career, I don't think is right. He's a talented rider. There's not, like, this overabundance of guys that can race at that level. He did what he did. You know, act appropriate. You don't destroy the guy's career. I'm sorry, you know, I'm not in favor of what he did, but it is what it is, and he's not even close to being the first person to do that. He's just the first person who's stupid enough to do that on high-res television coverage, right?
And here's the other thing, right? Mm-hmm. And this might actually shock you, right? Number one, he's 22 years old, so he's just a hot-headed, dumb kid.
Yep.
Right? And he's 5'4", so he's got Napoleon complex.
Yep.
He's Italian, which means he's not the brightest guy in the world.
Yeah. Most of those guys are not much taller than that. Just so
I mean, they're all midgets.
Yes.
But here's something I want to say.
Except for Chaz Davies.
I've lived in this area now close to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've
Is that
lived
right?
here 10 years. Yeah.
Wow.
11.
You're getting old.
2007.
You're getting old.
That's when I came down in the summer of 2007.
Wow.
Right? I've been here when Motor America was at VIR spending money, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like, people were advertising. And for the first time this morning on Fox News, they talked about motorcycle racing. The local Fox channel talked about the Fanati event.
Yeah.
Incident.
Because it was so outrageous. So over the top.
Well, they didn't even understand it. Like, I felt God, you know, why can't they call me up?
I don't even want to know what ESPN said about it. It's like, okay, like I said, this is, Yeah, I agree. But you can do all your things you can say about it. It's a horrible thing that he did. It was really stupid and everything. But I think what they're doing to him now is a little over the top.
Yeah,
and,
but here's what I'm saying is they should actually be thanking him. Because now there's 100,000 people in the D.C. area that never even heard of Moto 2.
Okay.
Now are sharing that video going, did you see this?
I don't think...
No publicity is bad publicity.
I don't think we want to encourage that behavior, but I don't think we want to go overboard in either direction, right?
Well, I think it brings attention to your sport.
Well, there's
who watched boxing before Mike Tyson bit people ear off?
Yeah, I don't think Moto 2 and Moto GP are hurting for attention.
They are in the U.S.
I don't think they're hurting.
Yeah, they're hurting.
I don't think so because
they're
bad. It's like you can buy a package and the coverage is just as good in the package as you're going to get.
I just want to see how many people are trying that in traffic next week.
Well, anyway, but we should talk about Moto 2 because Pecco Bagnaia, which I thought he was going to basically take the rest of the season off.
He was looking like it.
He was, but I think that Oliveira has stimulated him.
Whoa.
Well, that's what Warren tells me.
Okay.
And so it got close enough. It got down to, 3 or 4 points? And
I believe it was one not too long ago.
Yeah, so in any case, he seems like he's back in focus, and he was completely managed that race. He had a big lead early on, and... You know, Oliveira, it's like, I hate to say this, because, I mean, I know we have some pool members who listen to the show and everything, but he's just a good pick. Let's just face it. Oliveira's he's a sandbagger, so he's a great pick in the pool.
He has Rossi syndrome.
Yeah.
Horrible qualifier shows up on game day.
Yeah, but Rossi didn't do that this last past
weekend. Well, Rossi's getting older, so, you know, it's the old Toby Keith song. I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Oliveira's been doing this. I think he's just not a good qualifier, right?
Yeah.
But he's a great racer. So,
and Marini, what was going on with Marini's tire?
I don't know. I don't
like,
know.
I saw all that smoke and I'm going, oh my God, don't let all the smoke out that comes to the factory. Once it's gone, you can't race no more.
Yeah.
And then he gets off and they're like checking underneath. And I'm like, why are you guys looking? And then they're like, it's the tire.
Yeah.
Which then you can't race either if you wear away the sidewalls of the tires. You need those things?
Yeah, you kind of need them.
You kind of need them?
It's where you're getting most of your traction from. Bikes don't ride that much on the center of the tire.
Yeah, especially there, right? So
I don't think any track they spend a lot of time on the center.
You know, I had high hopes for him because he's pretty fast, and I thought, all right, that's practically a home track for him.
Yeah, yep.
You know, it's in Italy, and he's Italian, so, you know.
Yeah, it's also home track for Pacini. It didn't work out so good for him either.
No, there was a lot of guys who should have been a good race for that it didn't actually work out that good for.
Yep.
Pacini, obviously Manzi, when your competition decides to stop you for you.
Right.
And then Lowe's crashed again. I feel like he's the Tom Cruise of.
Yeah, I mean, I think the pool on him is figuring out what lap he's going down.
Yeah, that would actually be entertaining. Yeah. You know, and then some guys have fallen away this season that I expected more out of. Like, I think Schroeder is getting better each week, but like Baldessari and Quartararo, who in the beginning, and Agutter. Right? When was the last time we talked about Dominic Agutter?
Not this season.
Yeah.
It's not been a good season for him. I don't know if it's the bike that he's on, but.
Been kind of miserable for
him. Yeah, not been a good season for him. Lowe's is just pretty much mailing it in right now. Of course, it's airmail. But
it's more like wreckering it in.
But it's Bagnaia. And
yeah, Bagnaia.
The thing is, it could have been really, really bad for Oliveira based on his qualifying position and based on the way he raced, and turned out to be a good thing for him. It didn't kill him.
Well, you know, I feel like if he could qualify better, those big jump starts, if he was going past the first line, like he goes past the fifth line.
Mm-hmm.
Right, whatever, second line, third line. Yeah. I'm being a jerk, right? Yeah. But for him to go out there and get that better start, it's like Rossi, right? Like, oh, my God, I never pick Rossi when he's on the pole because that means he screwed something up.
Yeah.
Bagnaia, I mean, Oliveira, I feel like if he was starting third, he'd have wins.
Maybe.
Because he wouldn't waste the tires going through the rest of the guys.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But in any case, it's still competitive through.
Yeah.
This is not over with by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh no, no, one screw up and this is one screw up and this is a whole new ball of wax.
Yep, yep.
And then we got MotoGP,
mm-hmm.
The big boys.
Yep.
I think Dovey, I almost picked Dovey. I really was looking at Rossi for the pool. And then I was like, I haven't picked Marquez, and I knew Rossi was going to fail. I was kind of hoping more out of Marini.
Yeah, Marquez.
That kind of screwed me.
Marquez was a better pick. You just weren't going to get a lot of qualifying points from what he qualified, like fourth?
Yeah, yeah. And they finished second. Yeah. I think Dovey's riding for a job right now. You got to feel for Dovey because he's pretty much been the number two guy on his bike. Not because he's not the best guy on the bike, but because they're bringing in guys that they want to be the number one guy, and he's always the bridesmaid kind of when it comes to bikes.
Last year he was very competitive. He scored a lot more points last year than Lorenzo did.
Even he said though during the Annone years. Mm-hmm. That he was their number one guy.
That's because his teammate was a torpedo that would run into him all the time.
Yeah, who's rideless for next year.
He is rideless.
It's like, who wants the Cannonball Express?
I think he'll show up somewhere. I really do.
He will. I don't have any doubt. I mean, somebody needs to
make
jump.
Maybe in Moto America.
Derek Elias?
Yes. But anyway, I don't know. I mean, Dovey
wasn't an exciting race.
It wasn't an exciting race, and Dovey's thing about it is that he's always been a good racer. I don't think there's any question about that. Marquez definitely had issues. They did not hit the setup on that bike.
No.
No question about that at all. They didn't do that. Lorenzo just, like, screwed the pooch. This was his race, in my opinion, to lose.
And he did.
And he did. He absolutely did.
Even dropping back to second, I thought, all right, that's not a bad thing. And then he's like, I'm just going to throw the bike away.
Yep. Yep.
You know, whether it's anger about having a bike, not, I don't know.
I'm telling you, I'm just so looking forward to next year when he's on the Honda.
When that cancer is in Honda's garage.
I just can't wait. Phil and me have a gentleman's bet where Phil actually thinks Lorenzo's going to win more races on the Honda next year than Marquez.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, I give that zero chance of happening.
Look, because he is the cancer, he doesn't get affected by the cancer.
Yeah, well, right? I don't know what.
And that's my theory. It's my theory of scumminess.
All it takes is, what do we figure out? All it takes is like 30 races for Lorenzo to actually be good on a bike. That ain't happening next season, right?
I think he'll be better. I think, Qatar's really a track for the Yamahas. I'd say by round three next year, Lorenzo has a win.
Okay.
I can't believe I'm saying it. Why do you get me to say these things about somebody I hate?
I don't think there's absolutely any hope at all Lorenzo will win more races than Marquez. Unless Marquez gets injured, then anything's possible.
All Lorenzo has to do is be like, come here.
Yeah, I think Lorenzo is about three seasons past his prime. And he ain't no Rossi who can race well late into his life. And he went to Ducati, and you know what? In my opinion, he didn't have the ability to adjust his riding style for the Ducati. And now he's going back to
a nimble bike.
Yeah, he's going back to a nimble bike, but you know, how long is it going to take him before he's got, you know,
race pace?
Well, okay. I only know one guy who could actually go from the Honda to the Ducati or vice versa.
Well, Stoner.
And win. Right, Stoner.
Well,
right.
Stoner. Listen, maybe Stoner's heading to Honda because Stoner's contract with Ducati's up.
Well, he's going to go to Honda as a development rider?
Yeah, then what do you say?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't say anything.
Lorenzo.
I don't say anything.
I hate Lorenzo. It's not that I'm a Lorenzo
fan.
We'll see. I don't like him.
We'll see what
he's
happens.
He's cost me so many points.
I don't hate Lorenzo. He probably will be encouraging you to buy into that stuff right up to the point that he gives up.
Okay. Maybe he's not going to quit on a Honda.
We'll see.
He only quit when he was on Italians, right? I mean, for Italians to render, it just took like...
Who's the one rider you know who will never give up in a race? I mean, there's only been one guy, in my opinion, in the last decade, who's been the kind of guy that never, ever, ever, ever gives up in a race. He's the guy that runs back to pick up the backup bike all the time.
Yeah, Marquez.
He's the only guy that does that. You ever seen Lorenzo do that? No, he just walks away.
Lorenzo's like, that bike was junk. Yeah, the other one's set up just like it, which means it's junk.
Junk too, right.
Yeah, no, I get that. He's a prima donna.
And Marquez, to his detriment, is very, very competitive. And I think actually having Lorenzo there, maybe that's why they hired him, is they wanted to find some way to stir him up. What's he got to do? He's already winning the championships. He wins three out of four championships now.
But do you bring cancer in to stir somebody up?
I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe that's just going to give Marquez a little push that he needs.
Or send the whole team over the deep end, right? That's what, like, here's what I, it's not that I think Lorenzo is going to come out and be so much greater of a rider than Marquez.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I think Lorenzo is going to be the same rider mm-hmm. that he always is because he is the cancer in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And when Marquez comes in there and there's this cancer, we don't know how he's going to do with adversity in the garage.
Yeah, we'll see.
Right? Because he's always had Pedroza, who was just like, do whatever it takes to win our boy a championship. Now he's going to have some guy that's going to ruin him.
How much time we got left before I change subjects?
You can change subjects. I paused it a couple minutes ago.
That's what I thought we
were. Yeah, I'm being a jerk. Go ahead.
No. I just was like, talking about who I was going to say. Who's been the most disappointing rider? Your pick for the most disappointing rider this season.
Wow, that's tough. Because I'm kind of locked between Vinales and Pedrosa on that.
Wow. That's interesting. I'm with you on one pick.
Okay. Pedrosa?
No. I'm with you on Vinales. Definitely Vinales.
Zarco?
Zarco. Zarco. Vinales and Zarco would have been the top two picks. I would say Vinales is number one over Zarco. But Zarco, remember, was the guy that preseason that Marquez said, this guy's got it in him to win a championship. And it's been a total fizzle.
I think what he meant was his championship peener was in Zarco's butt. I kind of think that's what, like, oh, yeah, he's got a championship in him. I kind of think that's what that meant.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, early on, I kind of punted on Zarco early on when I realized Tech 3, Yamaha, and Zarco don't know how to maintain tires. The mm-hmm. combination of the two of them together don't maintain tires.
Well, it also helps when you realize that you have other choices other than soft.
Right. Yeah, but they just still haven't. They haven't put together a race weekend where I felt like they were making the right choices on tires.
No, but they
so
yes,
you're not going to win.
I agree. I don't know if you can blame that on the team. You blame that on the team manager. Yes, certainly.
Right. I mean, like, who do you blame that on? Zarco saying I want those, or the team manager letting them?
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's probably the team manager for saying, no, you're absolutely not going to do that, because that was. That's part of the Jorge Lorenzo story, right? Where the team manager said no, and Jorge Lorenzo said, no, you'll do what I tell you to do, because I'm Jorge Lorenzo.
I'm Jorge Lorenzo. Jorge Lorenzo.
Lorenzo. Oh, God. Anyway.
I'll do it.
So that's that. Now, who's the surprise of the season for you?
The surprise?
So far, because we're in the second half of the season now.
I think Petrucci and Crutchlow.
I would agree with you on Crutchlow. I think Crutchlow is because he has seemed to be pretty consistent in his competitiveness this season.
Yeah. He's pulling the podium every now and then. He got the wins. Mm-hmm. And like his anger interview at Argentina was maybe classic. That was one of the best things I've ever seen.
Yeah. So, I mean.
But I also, Petrucci. On a bike that I didn't give any, the Pramac Ducati I kind of viewed as a 10th place bike
mm-hmm.
has been really bringing it forward. I think he's racing better than that bike is. I think that's why he earned himself the factory Ducati ride.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I think that's right.
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But I also don't feel like there's somebody in Moto2 right now that I'd give the world to.
I agree. I don't see it so far.
I don't
far.
See it. I don't. No. I don't see it as of yet. Petrucci, and like I said, Crutchlow, Rossi. I think the main reason I don't think Vinales is my number one disappointment is the struggles I see Rossi having with the Yamaha means Vinales is having those struggles.
Oh yeah, I'm not,
and I can't say that it's all rider there. Although
no, I don't think it is all. I don't think it's all rider, but Rossi has had a much better season than Vinales. Yes, much better season.
I don't know. They're only. 25 points difference.
Well, that's 25 points. That's a full race difference, Phil.
Yeah, but that's not.
And they're not winning races, so 25 points would probably take 6 weeks.
That's 20 weeks.
Right.
But yeah, so I don't know. Like, I feel like Yamaha, you know, when Yamaha came out a couple weeks ago and apologized to Rossi for putting out a crappy bike.
Mm-hmm. And then it was, and then the bike was good the next week.
Yeah, right? And now it's back to crap.
Right.
It's like, maybe you need to complain more. I don't know if Vinales is as big a disappointment as I feel like, you know, like a Pedrosa or even a Zarco. Like Pedrosa, I feel like this is the first time that I don't think Pedrosa is going to win a race this in a season for a long time.
No,
he always squeaks one or two out.
Yeah, I think he's.
I think
we
he's
know
done.
He's already announced his retirement.
Yeah,
so.
he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then some. I don't look at. There's a lot of good names in the field, but like, okay, Redding, he's on a junk bike.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Smith, not so great bike.
Mm-hmm.
Morbidelli, not so great bike.
Right.
Tito Rabat. French.
Rins.
Or, well, I guess he's Spanish, right?
Right, and Rins.
Rins.
You know how many of these guys that won in Moto 2 get they get their premier ride on crappy bikes? And
yeah,
it's kind of like then you stop being the story anymore. You look at Morbidelli, Rins.
I think Moto 2 has a bottleneck problem, kind of like what Moto America has had,
mm-hmm.
kind of like what NASCAR had and is like working their way out, right? It's like, okay, who in Moto 2, who in that list do you take Marquez off for? Who in that list do you sit Rossi off for? Who do you sit Dovi off for? Right? Like, there's not a lot of quality bike teams.
Well, yeah, that's.
And you got two guys on them.
Yeah.
And like, okay. We used to talk about Tech Toy Yamaha being able to win races. We mm-hmm. don't really talk about that.
Well, now. You just made the point about Cal Crutchlow, and he's a...
Yeah, and he's LCR Honda.
Right, it's LCR Honda. So
right, but okay, mm-hmm. Cal's no spring chicken.
Yep. No, I'm just saying that just because you got promoted to the premier, and I'm not saying these guys can turn it down because it's probably the money's good.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that they end up on crappy bikes could be terminal to their career.
Yeah.
Right. Marquez won in Moto 2 and went to the best team, arguably. Right.
Well, at
in
least
MotoGP.
The factory ride. And where a couple years before, Honda bitched and complained to keep Spies off factory Yamaha
right.
and made him go to Tech 3.
Right.
Right. So, you know, I mean, the rule changes and stuff like that. Like, I had a similar argument about four wheel racing over the weekend with somebody. Mm-hmm. And we were talking, and I said, in NASCAR, the guys used to have to earn their way into the cup, and now you're just moving up guys who are 19. Like, look at it. Like, Rins, they're talking Joanne Mir moving up.
Yep.
He hasn't won a Moto 2 championship.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Miller just bypassed Moto 2 pretty much.
Right. Yep.
Right. You know, so if you're going to bring guys up and bypass Moto 2 and this, that, and the other thing, you're going to have an age. Everybody wants younger. Marquez came out, he was young, and they wanted younger.
Yeah,
they want younger.
Young, that's what they want. They want him as young as possible because they want to collect on him as many years as possible.
Yeah, so what happens is when you got guys who are younger,
mm-hmm.
and now they're instead of, man, I'm in my prime and I get my first factory ride, now mm-hmm. it's I have my first factory ride, now I enter my prime. So you're going to have Marquez. You can end up with Marquez on the factory Yamaha for 15 years.
Yeah.
Right? Which, you know, or 13, 12 years. Right, mm-hmm. which you say, oh, that's great. Look at the championships he's going to win, but look at all the other guys that don't get that chance to be on the best bike.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. He's going to be at Honda for a long time.
He's going to be at Honda, right. He's mm-hmm. you know, 3 out of 4. He's mm-hmm. he's not going anywhere. So now Honda's going to have a bottleneck, which is what mm-hmm. Yamaha had with Rossi for a while.
I don't think Honda's going to have a bottleneck because I will bet you that the minute that Jorge, and we'll see what happens. Okay, I'll be glad to admit that I was wrong, although I doubt seriously that I am, that the minute that Jorge Lorenzo's contract at Honda ends, he's gone. They're not going to. They will not renew him. And I'm telling you.
Well, that seems to be the case with everybody with him.
yeah. And but I we'll just wait and see what happens.
Yeah, but it's still 2 years.
Yeah, it's 2 years.
I mean,
right.
you know,
it's 2 years, and then you know we'll see.
It's 2 years, and then you're going to pick out somebody. And okay, now at 2 years, Crutchlow's too old to move to that bike.
But Zarco won't be. There's a lot of other guys that were on good bikes. Of course, all the bikes were relatively the same.
Yeah, but you'd Moto probably, two, but instead of Zarco, you'd mm-hmm. probably look for Morbidelli, who's a couple years younger than Zarco.
Is he? Or they're about the same. I think they're close to the same age.
I believe, right?
Well, you're just saying that because Zarco spent 2 years in Moto 2. I think he's pretty young. I think they're about the same age. Maybe a year between them.
I'm just, you know, what I'm saying is like, you're moving guys up. What is your...
You're not going to get another 19-year-old phenom like Marquez out of Moto 2 that you would put on the opposing bike, right? So yeah, then you got to think about who's the most talented guy that they have in MotoGP that's currently on a, you know, not top tier bike, right? Is it Morbidelli? Is it Zarco? Is it Rins? What do you have out there? And Bagnaia, we already know where he's going. So
Zarco's 5 years older than Morbidelli.
So that's he's a lot Zarco's older than 28.
I didn't realize that. Okay. I thought he was like 25.
Oh yeah, he's too old.
Right, so he's still, so you know, like, but what happens is you're going to get all these guys, you get guys bottlenecked. If you're not, that's the one thing, and this is what I was telling somebody, right, because we were talking about, and I said, NASCAR bottled themselves up with all old people. They got a bunch of people who were racing for 15 years, so the young talent never came out. That's the one thing I like about Supercross more than any other form of racing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Moto 2, you don't, you'll never end up with I can't think of it, Safoglu in World Supersport if you did the motocross rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
You points out.
Yeah.
And if you can't get a ride, then you move on, right? And what I feel like is that does, like, guys come in, they say, all right, well, we got this guy for 4 or 5 years. Bam, you know, Ryan Dungey wins this championship, we move him on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You win 5 years or so, you're getting old, we're going to move you on. Like, I feel like Rossi, unfortunately, I like Rossi, but Rossi's part of the problem. He's been racing in the Premier for a long time now.
Yeah, since I was in second grade, I think.
Yeah, I know. Like, I'm pretty sure he's, like, related to you, young, old, whatever.
No, he's Italian.
Whatever.
I have no Italian blood whatsoever. Okay. I'm proud to say.
But, you know, it's you get these bottlenecks.
Yeah.
Right now, MotoGP has a bottleneck.
Yeah, you get that bottleneck, and you also have the problem that you don't have as much, you don't have as many competitive rides as they used to have, right? There used to be more equality across the teams. Yeah. Now it's not so much, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think Suzuki's getting there, so that adds another, you know.
Another two rides. KTM will
good.
Get there.
KTM will definitely get right. there.
So, I mean, I like that. I mean, I'm looking at...
That's 10 factory rides. That's pretty good.
That's great, unless you compare it to Futrak, which we're going to have maybe 16 factory rides.
Yeah.
But that's real racing.
Right.
you know, we didn't even talk about Futrak. They were at Williams Grove this weekend, and we actually had a 1-2 brother combination on the podium for the Bauman brothers. Went first and second in the twins.
The Bouncing Bauman Brothers?
The Bouncing Bauman Brothers. But anyways, we'll probably talk about that a little more next week because we run over a little bit here. But yeah, I think they just have a bottleneck. I think that's going to be a problem they're going to have to look into.
I'm just glad that there's other competitive bikes now, and it used to be that it was Honda or Yamaha, and that was it.
Yeah.
Ducati's now competitive now. You've got, like you said, we've got Suzuki coming up. We've got KTM coming up. So I think the future of MotoGP is still positive. I think it's a positive outlook in there. And let's be honest, there's going to be two Yamaha rides coming available in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Rossi's not got another contract renewal in him. He was supposed to be done in 2017. Well, he's in 2018.
You know,
is he going to be like Garth Brooks and do 12 farewell tours?
You know? Maybe.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Well, you know, I think he's waiting for the factory Yamaha Moto America to come available.
I think the fact that he's not in the he's not even in the running for the championship this year, I think it's going to make it very difficult. Now, you don't want to finish. You don't want your last memories in your career to be when you were not competitive. Is he really going to take a chance that Yamaha's going to turn things around next year? And
I don't know. That's the big question.
I think he signed this contract
to win a 10th championship.
Yeah, and I don't. That's not.
And
happening
I don't
on
see
bike.
It happening this year, and I'm probably not next year.
No, and
we'll see.
He is getting older. He's not getting any younger.
No,
so.
He definitely ain't getting younger.
Right.
We got. World Superbike is racing this week in Portimao.
I don't think those guys remember how to ride motorcycles. We'll see.
I don't know.
It's been 2 years since they last raced?
Yeah, at least. Yeah. But Go America, two Americans on factory Hondas, which unfortunately I'm not saying Go Honda. but I hope to see some decent results out of our Americans.
I would hope so. I would love to see a podium finish, just either one of them. I don't care who, just to get a podium.
Yeah.
I don't see that happen.
I don't care if they have to tie the two bikes together.
A top five. I'll take a top five. We've seen a top 10. I want to see a top five.
Top five. A top five. I'm going to be, you know, singing Lee Greenwood, God Bless America all week.
Not happening this season, I'm afraid.
Yeah, no, so. I'm with you on that. Yep. So they return to racing, and then I don't know what else we have. If you get a chance, go to YouTube, check out the Iron Giant race. It's a hair scramble race. I enjoy it. You might. Ken, it was good having you back.
Clickbait.
Maybe I should steal that content and put it on our site or something.
That's right.
We'll be back.